Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. And to help me out, you heard that soundbite, but to help me out on whether Kyler Murray is in fact a franchise quarterback, I'm joined now by Dan Hatman, Director of Scouting Development at the Scouting Academy. And Dan, as I was saying there, to me, you know, Josh Rosen is a sunk cost. Whether or not you drafted him last year should be independent of what you decide to do with your pick this year. It's more about what you think of Kyler Murray. You draft him if you think he's a franchise level quarterback. You do not if you don't. Where are you on that assessment of Kyler Murray, whether he's worth the first pick in the draft, and he potentially is a franchise-level quarterback?
So this is one of those guys that won the Heisman, and the play translates. You know, we've seen other quarterbacks in the past. Didn't quite pan out at the NFL level. Kyler brings a lot of things to the table that are going to immediately transfer and play. Biggest question for anybody that doesn't get a chance to meet the young man or talk to his coaches, and myself included, getting that information third hand or third party, is what's in between his ears. You know, that's really the difference maker with so many of these quarterbacks, how they process, how they learn systems, how they anticipate things. You know, fortunately, he had a setup in Oklahoma where he's got a head coach who's running circles as a play caller around a lot of people in college football. And so that creates some easy opportunities and some easy openings that are not going to exist in the next level. And so, trying to translate it doesn't always end up being apples to apples, and so you have to figure out what kind of things are going to be transferable. And if you can get a strong assessment that he's a very intelligent young man and that he can take those things and learn and master those concepts, then yeah, you dive in with both feet. If you come back and it's more middling, then you're going to have to put a plan together on how to extract that value.
Yeah, what's interesting to me is when you talk about between the ears, you know, I don't think his demeanor is that important on the field. I mean, you know, like I think he's kind of proven himself capable on the field, but I do have, and this isn't really football related, I guess it's a slight concern seeing him in like an interview setting, and that comes with the job, right? It's not the most important thing, but it's part of being the face of a franchise. And I don't know how much that would weigh into a decision. How much of this is what you're saying is about what you think people are concerned about as far as like leadership on the field versus just being a presence for the team, period?
Been around so many different types of leaders. They're not all the rah-rah type. I've definitely been around some, but that doesn't pan out consistently, you know. When I was in New York with the Giants, Eli Manning's not that kind of leader. D'Amico Ryans with Philadelphia was not that kind of leader, but people wanted to play for him, play with him. You know, a smart coach once told me that the guys end up being the leaders, your best players, and the guys that get paid the most. Mm-hmm. So with the way he played, people are going to respond to that because he gives you a chance to win. You're going to believe that he gives you a chance. There's just going to be some things he does that are extra, that are special, that he can make up for potentially other players just from a physical capacity. That's going to get people to be excited. It doesn't have to be a great interview in order to do it. It doesn't have to be a commanding presence necessarily to do it. They just have to believe that they can go win and they can be successful. Because when your team loses, everybody's searching for a job, players included, and no one has any fun. So as long as they're winning ball games, those things will smooth out. The question is going to be when it's hard. And if you have a franchise like Arizona last year, didn't have a great year, another coaching change, still putting the roster together, it's not going to be stepping into an immediately successful position. So that first 12, 24 months, whatever it's going to be, is he going to have the wherewithal to go into a situation that's not going to be as strong as it was at either A&M or Oklahoma and still be that kind of presence?
Now, let's move on to the rest of the quarterbacks. You know, I don't know what to think because I was told for a while it was not a quarterback-heavy draft, and now I see mock drafts, and you got a bunch of quarterbacks going up near the top. How strong do you think this quarterback class is? And aside from Murray, who would you put at the top of that board?
So it's not as strong as last year, but at the same time, because the value of the position, if a guy has a chance to be a good starter, they're going to go top 50 or higher. And so we're going to see four guys go in the first round. You're going to see Haskins, Murray, Locke, and Jones all go first round, in my opinion, just because teams need quarterbacks and there's no point waiting around till later days at this point to try to figure it out and take shots. You take your shots early, you know, if they have enough skill set to be in that conversation. Now, again, do those four match up to last year's or some other years in the past? No, but that's just the nature of the beast. They don't make them, like you said in the intro. Not every year presents the same level of quality, and you can't sit around and wait for years to come necessarily. So at some point, you just got to jump.
Robin Lundberg talking to Dan Hatman, Director of Scouting Development at the Scouting Academy, about the upcoming NFL draft here on CBS Sports Radio. Outside of the quarterbacks, who do you think is the best player in this draft?
I'm a big Bosa fan in terms of his play. Very polished and refined, easily transferable impact player early on. And then my next two are going to be Ed Oliver and Quinn Williams. I think those two other defensive linemen, more towards a defensive tackle body type, very unique players that are, again, have immediate impact. I'm probably higher on Ed Oliver than most. I have him a smidge above Quinnen, but very, very good players.
As far as Bosa goes, if he was a quarterback, there would be a lot. You know, we're questioning everything about Kyler Murray. Are there any questions about him in the sense of some of the stuff he said and tweeted, and then some of the stuff he said and about not doing it anymore, you know, taking it back or whatever, not taking it back, but avoiding doing it because of any brushback he may get? Does that factor at all into the evaluations,
well, I mean,
or does it not matter?
Last year, I still believe that people leveraged Josh Rosen's talk about politics into their assessment of him. Didn't want a player talking about politics. Now, when you have a quarterback, right, and then the media scrutiny that comes with that, I think it was a bigger deal to most decision makers. But if we're going to apply that concept that we don't want our guys to talk about politics, then we should apply it across the board. And if we're going to say that these are human beings playing a game, they're entitled to communicate their opinions, then we got to hold that standard. We can't pick and choose. You know, whatever standard you're going to apply as a team, either you don't care, you care, you should apply it across the board. I think these are human beings playing a game. It's a business for all of us. I think everybody's entitled to say what they want, but they got to own up to it. Whatever, you know, whatever they put out there, they got to back it up.
No,
so
I think
stance, and I'd apply it across the board.
No, I think guys should be allowed to talk about what they want. You know, I think we're in a unique time where the word politics doesn't exactly fit what's going on.
I was just
curious if if there was a difference because he's not a quarterback or why that wasn't coming up.
We're seeing it because he's a lock for top three. You know, and Rosen, I think if he didn't have some of the demeanor and the conversation that he had publicly in the process in the years before that, would have been a lock to be in the same place. I think it's a double standard. I think we applied a different standard to Rosen last year than we are to Bosa this year. I'm just arguing that whatever the team picks, whatever side of it they're on, they should apply it with consistency.
On Rosen, now that you bring him up, what do you think his value is right now?
If I'm Arizona, I'm not trading him for anything less than a first. I don't think they're backed into a corner. I don't think they have to move them. They've got, for lack of a better term, an asset, a resource. And the biggest thing people want to say from an outside perspective on Kyler Murray is that his frame may leave him susceptible to injury. If that is the biggest fear that you have of the player, then why would you decrease the strength of your backup quarterback position? If I'm Arizona, I'm sitting on Josh Rosen until someone makes me an offer. I don't care if I got to hold him until week six in the trade deadline, try to swing something like a Jimmy Garoppolo deal to San Fran. But I'm holding on to him until, again, the value is right.
Is there any other one player maybe people should be watching out for in the draft? Last one for you that is a name that people may know, but maybe aren't taking as seriously as perhaps you're taking them.
I'm just a bigger fan of inside backers that can play against the run and the pass. So there's two. You have the linebacker out of Michigan, the linebacker at LSU, both Devons there. Those guys are very special players. They're going to be very good in the National Football League. They should go top 10. I don't think both of them will, most likely just one. But you're talking about two guys that can play and really help a team at that position, which is so valuable because it's the first thing the offensive coordinator wants to attack. Whatever the weakness is of those inside backers, the easiest throw to make. 7-9 yards in the middle of the field. So that's the first place they look.
Dan, really appreciate your insight. Thanks for joining me today.
Oh, happy to do it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.